The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The Lord's Prayer. It might be better named the Disciples' Prayer. Jesus didn't say, pray like this. He says, pray in this manner. So we want to take today and look at the Lord's Prayer. We read it today, but today we want to look at it a little closer. How appropriate this is. It is on the day of prayer. And our guest host today, our regular, I guess you'd say regular guest host, Dylan Burris is with us as Alex is busy traveling. I know he's finishing up his last youth camp of the year. So he was busy today. And Dylan, thank you for joining us, brother.
Oh, of course, Bert. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And yes, Alex has been busy speaking at least six youth camps this summer. And even though many schools are back in session, there's still some places where he can still speak at summer camps. And he's finishing strong before the school year kicks off. But like many of you, our students are going back to school. And one thing we want to emphasize is prayer on this day of prayer and how fitting it is that we're focused on the Lord's Prayer during this time, during this hour, and especially as you like to call it, the disciples' prayer, because Jesus didn't need this prayer. It was his disciples and us today who really need these words to help us to better intercede and speak with our Lord and with our Father in heaven.
We really do. And here in this one, we find out Jesus was sharing them, this is how to pray. And they wanted to know. John taught his disciples and said, you're going to teach us. And in verse 8 of Luke 6, he begins, therefore, do not be like them. Now who? Those that have vain reputation, those that pray for man's attention, to show them how, oh, look at me, I'm holy. But for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Now this is interesting. The Father knows what needs you have before you ask him. Well, I just want to share with you, I think there's a connection here. In other words, when we say our need, God knows our need. And when we pray and God meets that need, I would say this, Dylan, does that make us accountable for how he responded? I think it puts us as a disciple, as a follower of Christ. Okay, God's given this to me. I'm accountable to him now.
Right. Well, it's interesting that God already knows what we're going to ask him before we even open our mouth. So in one sense, you're wondering, why do we even pray at all? But the advice given here by Jesus is not that we skip praying because he already knows what we're about to ask, but that we do so in a manner that's reflective, that's respectful, that's holy, that's in contrast with the hypocrites he spoke about earlier in the chapter, that it's not something that we have to let God know all the details because he doesn't know what's going on. It's a matter of coming to him with the right attitude, with respect, and with a heart that longs to be connected with the Father in heaven. And that's the big contrast we see with Jesus and the people of his time, the religious teachers, is that he focused on a relationship with the Father rather than the rituals of the people of his time.
And this is based on a relationship because it says what? Our Father. And I found this interesting. It's all plural pronouns. All plural, our, us, not mine, me, not just. So this is connecting with the will of God. It's for the people of God. And it's God's name, God's kingdom, his honor, our needs, but God's will. And so this prayer reflects so many of those things. One more thing I would say, when you hear the words, our Father in heaven, it has that personal relationship, Father, in heaven, a position of power right there. Now, as a father, my wife and I, we had three sons, and as their father, they came to me with some things that I knew they needed, but I didn't have the power to give it at that time, Dylan. But our Heavenly Father, is there any limits to his power? When we say our Father who is in heaven, it's that position in that relationship, but it's also a position of power, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting that it's not just who he is, but it's also where he is, our Father who art in heaven. It gives us this reminder that he is way above anything that we have or anything that we are going through. There's nothing that's too big for him. And then it emphasizes in the very next phrase, hallowed or holy be your name. He is so set apart and separate from all of the weaknesses we have as humans that we don't have to fear. I was just reading in the Old Testament about Elijah and Elisha and some of the things that they confronted. And in one place, the prophet says that this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. And I think about that with so many of the things we face and we think, oh, how could we possibly get through this? And from the perspective of God, this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. And this is just a short reminder, one of many in Scripture, that let us know that he has it under control. We can come to him. It might be out of our control, but it's not out of his control.
And he's been speaking about his kingdom. Now, in Matthew, Alex and I have talked about, he uses the kingdom of heaven 32 times, if I remember correctly, in the book of Matthew, and only four, maybe six times, the kingdom of God. But here it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, we'll get to the earth and heaven in a moment. But it's all about what? What's the first thing after we recognize God and who he is, his power, his holiness? The first thing that comes up is God's kingdom, God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so before we start talking about needs, we recognize who he is, but we also recognize that something more important than just me and myself, although God is interested in each individual, he really is, it's his kingdom work and where we fit in and how we are to produce and we're to be a part of it. But notice, it is your kingdom. The king, he's the king of his kingdom. And we have our places to minister and do, but your will be done. Dylan, I think this is a request. Man, it needs to be my desire. I want God's sovereign will for my life to be done. And with that in mind, I'm going to ask you this. Will it always be easy?
Oh my goodness, that's such a loaded question. Of course it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it, right?
Yeah. Hey, it's not even comfortable sometimes, is it?
Oh, no way. But you make such an insightful point there when you're talking about surrendering our personal control. It's not about our kingdom and our desires and our agenda. It's your kingdom come, talking about the Father and his will being done. And when we ask God to help us to obey him, he does. He intercedes in a way that's stronger than we can do in our own human strength. He empowers us through his Holy Spirit, and it gives us perspective that this life is not all there is. There's an eternal perspective that we need to have, and Jesus begins with that in this prayer, that it's a constant reminder. It's not about what I want to accomplish in this life. It's what God wants to accomplish for all eternity.
It is right reverse of what we think of as basically selfishness. But here it says, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is the second time heaven is mentioned. Our Father who is in heaven. And now it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's on the throne. He's ruling. And according to what the prayer that Jesus says that we should pray, we let him be on the throne of our lives. He's on the throne together like a church. He's on the throne in my personal life. He should be on the throne in my family life. On earth, it is as heaven. For the believer, is there anywhere on earth that we go that we are not designed for his will to be done? The answer is obviously no. But sometimes in our work, sometimes in our home, in many places, we have a hard time knowing what God's will is. And so is this where the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't know what to pray? Dylan?
Well, this is where it starts. We take our agenda to him, and sometimes he makes it very clear Other times it's a progression. We get a bit at a time. And I think of the Apostle Paul, who says, now we see like in a mirror, and then we'll see face to face. I mean, we get part of the story now, part of the answer along the way, but we won't see all the reasons why God let things happen the way they happen now until we are with him in heaven. And I think that's an important reminder that there are so many things we're frustrated about. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you had a job loss experience. Maybe you've gone through a financial hardship, a school program that didn't work out. And at the end, you're going, why did I go through all this? Well, sometimes we don't get that answer right away or even at all in this life. But when we stand before the Father in heaven as a follower of Christ, we'll see why it happened that way. And there will be a purpose behind it. And it will be significant in the actions of God. I think so much of the life of Joseph is an example in this area. All those years as a slave, all those years as a prisoner, and yet God worked through him to save his family and the entire nation of Israel.
It is amazing how God knows what he's doing. Notice verse 11, finally, a need. Now, I say that finally because I have to admit in my prayer life, man, if I'm not careful, I'll put my needs and I say, God, this is where I am. This is what I need. Now he wants to hear our need. He knows what we need. That's what is already said in verse 8. For the Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. And now in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now I found out that when you say this, this is a very real need. Food is a need. It's not just a luxury. It is a need, and it's daily. It's some need that we have daily, not just ever so often. But here he says, I know you have these needs. And here he says, you are to ask, give us this day our daily bread. This day, when I read that every time, I could not help but think of the children of Israel in the wilderness, and manna falling each morning, each day, and they would have enough manna sufficient for that day. And then on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, they would get a little extra portion so they could have it for 2 days. More than that, no, it did not remain. And so give us this day our daily bread. I when I read that, Dylan, I'll see if you think about it, but you know, you remember, I think you probably are old enough to remember the basics of life. Was it New Song? I think that sang, get back to the basics of life. And it was talking about the Christian walk. When I see that in verse 11, I think of it physically, but I also think Jesus being the bread of life. God, we need to deal with the basics. One other thing, and I'll throw it to you. I love basketball. The best coach that I believe ever was a college coach at UCLA, John Wooden. He played in Indiana for his college playing, but UCLA, I mean, championship after championship. But every season when basketball started, he would start with the basics. I see that in this passage. We need to get back to the basics of life, and that's physical and spiritual too, isn't it?
It is, and it's interesting how Jesus would portray that later on. We see two examples. He feeds the 5,000 with the few loaves and fish, and he feeds the 4,000. And so there are two specific times where he says, hey, not only do you go to God the Father asking him for bread, I am the provider of the bread. And then he calls himself the bread of life, equating himself with the Father. So there are all these layers to this that, yes, we go to God for our physical needs, our bread, our food. The Apostle Paul talks about our food and clothing. We'll be content with that. But Jesus also takes us that next step and says, I'm the bread of life.
And we'll get to that right after the break. We'll come back.
It's been 4 years since the overturn of Roe, but tragically, abortions have continued to rise. Today, the abortion pill accounts for more than 60% of all abortions. And last year alone, over 1.1 million babies lost their lives. That's why the work of Preborn Network Clinics is more urgent than ever. Every day, mothers facing unplanned pregnancies walk through Preborn's doors searching for hope. Instead of pressure and fear, they're met with love. Through a free ultrasound, mothers meet their baby for the very first time.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
For the child of God is far from home, the one who thinks they're too far gone, I'm throwing out another prayer in day. Worn out altars, tear-stained pews, still I won't give up on you. I believe that anything can change.
Welcome back to American Family Radio. You're here with Bert Harper and Dylan Burrows on Exploring the Word, and we've been having a day of prayer here at AFR, and also a time of looking at prayer at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We started off today speaking from the top of the prayer about our Father in heaven and his position and his glory and his might. And we continue now as we're talking about verses 12 and beyond. And this is where it gets to a focus that maybe we don't like, but maybe we do. It depends on the perspective. In verse 12, it tells us, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. That's a tough one, because we like it when it's in our favor. We don't always like it when it's talking about somebody else. So, Bert, kick us off with this idea of what it means when our Savior is telling us to focus our prayer on forgiving others and how it relates to forgiveness in our own lives.
This is amazing when it says, here, forgive. Now, earlier and later, Jesus would talk, and he'd talk about forgiveness, and he'd ask Peter, Peter, I want to ask you a question. If somebody wrongs you, how many times should you forgive them? And I can just see Peter sticking out his chest, and he said, I got this. I know this answer. And he says, seven. And he feels like, you know, I think I have a great imagination, Dylan, okay? So he's looking around to the other apostles, and he's giving the I got this. How you like that? I know I've missed right. A bunch, but I got this one. And Jesus, not seven, but 70 times seven. Forgiveness is so vital. And this is for good, not for bad. When he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Dylan, it is for our benefit. It really is. When we hold bitterness, unforgiveness in our heart, and we've talked about this, it's like an acid that eats its container. It's like drinking poison, expecting someone else to die. And so here, we forgive our debts. Lord, our sins, I know of sin, but forgive those who sin against us. The first thing I always want to say many times, well, you don't know what they've done. I've heard that more times than I can count after over 50 years of pastoral ministry. I've heard that more times than I could count, but you don't know what they've done. It was abuse. It was desertion. So many things. And hey, don't put it past me. I understand that. But I also understand what bitterness does. So this is a positive thing, not a negative thing, Dylan.
Yeah, well, it's hard because, like I said, when it's in our favor, we enjoy it. We like when someone quickly forgives us. We enjoy it when God forgives us, and it transforms our lives and the way that we live. But when it's us needing to forgive someone else, it's an entirely different story, because we have to be the one who makes that decision, sometimes not just one time, but on a daily basis, that, yes, I forgive that person who hurt me in this certain way, and then the next day it comes up again, and you say, I have to forgive again and again and again. in. And this doesn't mean we put ourselves in a place where we continue to allow ourselves to be hurt necessarily, but it does mean that it's both a one-time decision to forgive somebody of the harm they've done to us in whatever way that may be. And it's also an ongoing decision that each day we decide, okay, I'm not going to let this hold me back today from living for the Lord. So there's so much involved there. And all of Scripture talks about forgiveness. But the greatest is when we see it in the life of Jesus himself. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says that when he's hanging on the cross. So if he can go through that experience and express forgiveness, it sets an example for the rest of us when we struggle to forgive those who have harmed us.
My wife and I have come to decide this is it, and I want you to, we'll go to verses 14 and 15, and then we'll come back to the lead us not into temptation, because verses 14 and 15 talks about forgiveness. But forgiveness is an event that takes a process. It comes back up. It really does. You see that individual and you hear about that individual and what they've done, and it grinds on you, and you say, okay, Lord, I've done this. I'm walking in forgiveness, and I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I rely upon you. It is you in me that can do this. I would say this in Romans 8:26. Listen to this verse. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God can help us during this time. He can pray when we don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit of God in his power can strengthen us and know that we're doing this right, trying to go to the process. If those of you who are listening and you haven't finally got there yet, keep on struggling. Say, Lord, okay, who am I? Who am I? I'm not going to tell the specific event, but I had to do that. I had someone that I took up offense against, and it was anger, it was bitter, it was horrible. And I wanted to say to them, here's what God did to me, Dylan. God got me alone. He said, Bert, who do you think you are? I mean, here I am. It put me in my place. Okay. Who do you think you are? I have forgiven you. Yeah, you haven't done that. Yes, you didn't do that, but you have done these things. You have a bad attitude, and I've forgiven you. Who do you think you are that you should not forgive them? And that worked for me. Now, it may not work for everybody else, but skipping down real quickly to 14 and 15, before we come back again to verse 13, here it is about forgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, Dylan, with all my heart, I think this is talking about the fellowship we have with the Father. We have fellowship. And it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we hold bitterness in our heart and we let sin, he moves and does not hear us. It is for our, I know I'm beating a dead horse to death here, Dylan, but I'm doing it. According to what I understand here, those who are listening today, I just want to say, and you've got this unforgiveness, this bitterness in your heart, and I understand you can have it. I've been there knowing that it's hurtful and harmful. Listen, ask God to help you come to the point of forgiveness. As Dylan said, you don't put yourself out there again because you've been taught. They've taught you how to trust them, that you can't trust them at this point in time. So you know that, but you can still forgive and move on. And here it is, neither will your Father. Man, you've heard your prayer's not hitting the ceiling. If we don't forgive, Dylan, our prayers sure are going to be hindered in more ways than we can count, aren't they?
That's a good way to put it. And it's interesting that in the Lord's Prayer, this is the one area where Jesus expands on in the most detail, this idea of forgiveness. So all the other things, you get a couple of lines, but when it comes to forgiveness, there's an entire section there. So it shows the importance of it. and that we often need more attention when it comes to forgiveness and what that means in our relationship with others as well as with the Lord. But we're not alone. This is all throughout Scripture. You see in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is talking about, in your anger, do not sin, because that's our temptation, is to do that. Also talks about, don't let the sun go down in your anger, so that we take care of our anger in a prompt manner and don't let it build over time. But then I also think of the story of Jonah. We always think of the story of Jonah, of him being swallowed by the fish, and 3 days later he's spit up and goes and preaches, and they live happily ever after. But there's a chapter there at the end that is often left out, especially in the children's versions, right? You look at that chapter, and you find that Jonah is frustrated because he said, if these people repent, God's not going to do the judgment that he said. And that's exactly what happens. And it shows him expressing anger, and so angry at one point he wanted to die. And God had to teach him a powerful lesson about his forgiveness in a way that makes me feel good, because sometimes I'm like the prophet Jonah. I want to see God's judgment poured out on those who do wrong. And then God gives them grace, and I wonder why. So it's one of those things that we all have room to grow, and forgiveness is important whether you're just starting your Christian walk or whether you've been a believer for many years.
You know what I hear? We never arrive completely on this. It will be part of our Christian walk to the rest of our lives, how someone treats us. Somebody did not respond. So those of you who are listening, I just want to tell you, this is a common thread throughout your Christian life. Because if you've won the battle over an issue and an individual that hurt you, well, just wait a little while. There'll be another thing come along. You have to deal with that as well. So it is a constant battle. No wonder he talks about this, and he wants us to stay in fellowship with him and have a clean slate. Now, going back to the prayer itself in verse 13, this is one of the most difficult, I would say, wording of this phrase that we have to deal with. Now listen to it. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I know this, and we know this from James 4:1-4, especially verse 3, that he does not lead us. He does not tempt us. That God has some things. But here, I was looking at how in the world that is. I want to read this, Dylan, and then you. This is from Warren Wiersbe. Those of you that are looking for some great books and helps and different books of the Bible, Warren W. Wiersbe, if you can get that, there's the B series in the New Testament. They're excellent. They're excellent. I just recommend them highly. But here's what he says about lead us not into temptation, and then I want you to respond. Leading us into temptation does not mean that God tempts his children. And again, James 1 talks about that. No, he does not. We're asking God in this prayer, the way it's worded, and I think the Greek would identify that, we're asking God to guide us so that we will not get out of his will and fellowship with him and get involved in a situation of temptation. When we stay with God, the other thing, you know, God may ask us something like you referred to Jonah. Listen, he got out of step with God, and the temptation was, okay, it wasn't God that got him there, but his own self-will got him there. So you want to stay in step with God so that when the tempter comes along, you won't be drawn aside. Dylan, go ahead and respond, and you tell your what God has shown you about this.
Yeah, so those are great words, Bird. And I used to really struggle with verse 14 because it talks about if you forgive verse 13, it says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How does Jesus or how does God lead us into temptation? And then it dawned on me one time reading this, that just before this passage, Jesus himself was in temptation in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't that God sent him out there to get, you know, into trouble. God sent him out there to be prepared ministry that was to follow. And I think that's something that we need to be reminded of as well, that when we go through these times of struggle, these times of temptation, guess what? It's preparing us for what God has in store for us ahead. And sometimes it might be a major ministry move. The ministry of Jesus was really launched after his baptism and his time in the wilderness where he was tempted, and he was delivered from the evil one three times, just like we see here at the end of verse 13. So if we're going through some kind of temptation right now, we're going through some kind of struggle, guess what? You are in good company. This is exactly part of God's plan. It's part of his preparation. And if we endure faithfully, if we pray and see God bring us through those temptations and deliver us from the evil one, we'll be at that next step in the journey where God is going to use us in a special way for his ministry.
Amen. And it is the evil one. It is Satan and his minions, his demonic demons individually. And so we can be greater as he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Be directed by the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God, and you can be more than a conqueror. You can be an overcomer. Now, the last part of this, verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go back. Yours is the kingdom. Okay. That's what it said in verse 10. It's all about your kingdom. So it starts out with God's kingdom rule and us obeying this, following him, and then at the end, that you may get glory, for this is your kingdom. I think Jesus is letting these guys know and letting us know it's all about the kingdom of God. It's King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and what he's doing. It really is all about him and him being glorified, isn't it?
It is, and it's amazing to me that this prayer was taught 2,000 years ago, and yet today it's still one of the most common and most powerful prayers we see throughout our world today. I just saw a video yesterday of our War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, joining with some military service members in prayer recently, and he said, let's bow and pray the Lord's Prayer over them. And I thought, still today, our top leaders in our country are using this prayer to set the tone for God to intercede in the lives of the soldiers who represent our country. And it's a powerful reminder that this still has a powerful impact in your life and my life and our church and communities and our nation and beyond still today.
Amen. I would say this, it is about his glory and his honor. And so make this a part of your life. Pray in this manner. Give God the glory. Desire his will, and then follow him. He will meet your needs. Well, it is the day of prayer here every Tuesday. And that number, we want to hear your prayer needs. Please call us. Dylan and I want to pray with you and for you. That number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The lines are open. We want to hear your prayer requests today so God can get the glory.
Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time, and in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network Clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host.
We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:3.
American Family Radio.
Don't stop!
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. It is the Day of Prayer. That song introduces the final segment each week, and we do want to pray with you. And matter of fact, it's not just Dylan, myself, and Alex when he's here, Brent, Richard, and Marty, our whole team here, but we've got people that pray, and they put you on their list, and you're getting prayers from all over the United States, even the world. So if you've got that need, we would love to hear it today. Let me say this, Dylan, before we go to the first call, you say in Indiana, there's some severe flooding going on there and we need to pray for them.
Yes, there has been. So that's the area where I grew up is in Indiana. And over the past week, there's been some serious flooding in the central part of the state, the White River. Several deaths have been reported and a lot of people who've lost homes or vehicles and just need to continue to pray for the people of Indiana as they go through some serious flooding. So we'd appreciate that. And I know other parts of the country are going through wildfires, some severe heat or flooding or storms. So a lot of those types of prayer requests that we can be lifting up today in addition to the specific ones our callers bring us this afternoon.
Yeah, in the South, it is severe down here. Yesterday was really, really hot, and tomorrow's going to be that way here. And so we do pray. Janice called in, and I noticed she's not there, but I did get that. Her son was in a fire and is on a ventilator, and we want to pray for him. We don't know his name, but God does. So, Janice, if you're listening, we are mindful of that, and we're praying for that. Well, while we're waiting, others, Greg from Kentucky, I know you had a comment concerning the temptation. Greg, go right ahead.
Hello. I've got one of the shortest comments you guys have ever received.
Okay.
On the, I think the latest thought in the temptation is the first punctuation error that God ever made. why does no one say it like lead us, comma, not into temptation? I always thought if you put that inflection on it, that changes the whole meaning.
It does. Hey, that why it's so difficult is if you take Greek, that punctuation is not like it is in the English language, but it would be, Lord, lead us not into temptation. And Greg, fantastic call. I appreciate that, brother. Listen, he tests us, Dylan, doesn't he? But he doesn't tempt us. The test is to let us grow in him and to trust him. Temptation, the word is for us to fail and fall and go away. So there's a whole different purpose in testing and tempting, isn't there?
Yes, and there's this contrast in the verse of, you know, going into and coming out of, and you see that all throughout Scripture. I think of the people of Israel, 40 years in the wilderness, and there was all that time when they rebelled against the Lord and often struggled to do what was right, but God still fulfilled his promise and delivered them from all evil. And at the end of the 40 years, just as promised, they were in the promised land, and God was faithful. And it's the same in our lives today. It may not be automatic. It may not be as fast as we would like. But when we rely on the Lord, he gets us through the temptation, and he fulfills his promises in our lives.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that, Greg. Let's go to Mississippi, and it's our friend Jacqueline. Jacqueline, you have a prayer request? Go right ahead.
Yes, praise ye the Lord. I was just saying that Dylan just said it. He just said pretty much and answered it. What I was saying was with the...
Okay, we her prayer request, you get knocked off. I hear your radio in the background, and it causes all kind of confusion here. So those of you who call in, be sure and have your hand ready to turn off the radio if you're listening so we don't have this double sound. Jacqueline, is it your daughter that we need to pray for?
Yes, she has a battle with alcoholism for 28 years. And when you all was talking about forgiveness, 70 times 70, and no malice in your heart as a parent, I know we have unconditional love, but I just want prayer, not only for my daughter, but I was talking about the hangings in the trees here in Mississippi, the Nolan Wells, and all of us in the world. But Dylan was saying it just right when he was saying that we just got to pray and trust God, and God sees the evil. And I'm just asking for prayer for all of us, because we're going to get stronger through it. We Christians Amen. Got to stand strong no matter what.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Amen. I agree with you. So we're going to pray for your daughter. That's for alcohol, that she would be delivered. God, I've seen it. I've seen men and women delivered immediately from alcohol. They say, oh, no, it takes. I've seen it and then walk away. And then I've seen others, they confess it and they have to go it progress by progress, but be delivered. So, Jacqueline, we're praying for that. Brent, understand we had some prayer requests come in on Facebook.
Yeah, I've got one from Dana. She's asking for prayer for her brother Craig. He's got stage 4 cancer. She's wanting us to pray for comfort, complete healing, clarity, and peace. And also, she loves our program. Thank you so much Amen. For all you do.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you. Let's pray for Jacqueline here. Janice, write these down, Dylan. Janice, it was her son on a ventilator, needs help. Jacqueline's daughter overcoming alcohol, and then Dana's son, Greg, fighting cancer. Would you lead us in prayer, Dylan?
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. We can lift up the needs and requests of our callers and all those who are seeking help. And we do come to you with these specific requests. I think of Janice and her son. There's not much that comes closer than your own child going through physical issues. And we pray for healing for him right now. You lift him up and comfort him, and also give Janice help during this time when she's trying to be there for him. And we do pray for Greg in Kentucky and the needs that he's lifted up. We do also pray for Jacqueline and her daughter dealing with alcohol struggles, and just pray that you would give her freedom from that, that you would give her power over that, and that you would deliver her from the evil one, just like these verses have shared. And then we also want to lift up Dana and her brother Craig, who is asking for help with his stage 4 cancer. I do ask that you would intercede and provide in just the right way, whether it be something miraculous or whether it's over time, that you would help bring restoration to his body and help him and all of his family as they deal with this situation. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dylan. We have prayer requests coming in, and it's Lee from Virginia. Lee, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead.
I appreciate you guys so much. I'd like to request prayer for all the missionaries on the field and, you know, those that are lifting up the Lord in these catastrophes. And, you know, I know Samaritan's Purse, their resources have been drained, and, you know, replenishment for their funds.
Amen. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, brother. Listen, there are some missionaries, and you know them, Dylan, that are in strategic places. Some of them have to go in undercover. By that, I mean they don't go in as, quote, missionaries. They're there, but they're agents of God and sharing the gospel. And Samaritan's Purse and 8 Days of Hope, wow, what a ministry they have. And it's been very severe lately, hasn't it?
Yes, I mean, whether it's disaster relief like you were talking about, or whether it's working in a persecuted area where you have to be very sensitive about sharing your faith, all of these areas are important to God. They're also important for us to lift up those who are serving in these areas. It's sometimes frustrating because we think that if we're not the ones out there doing it, that we're not doing our part, but we each have a part to play, whether it's giving, whether it's praying, or whether it's being out there directly in the field. So we definitely want to stand with Lee and pray for all those who are serving in the mission field today, regardless of the role that they play. It's all important to God, and it's all part of sharing the gospel with those who are in need.
Dylan, my son, oldest son, Nathan, and I will do a weekend program called Exploring Missions, and we said everybody in the church should be involved. There's prayers. That should include everybody. Mm-hmm. Then there's givers. And is everybody sometimes cannot, but we give, and then they're goers, and we're standing together. So let's thank you, Lee, for reminding us to be praying for them. Thank you very much. Let's go to Mississippi, and we're talking to a guy named Bert. This is we get a lot of Alexes, but we don't get very many Berts. Bert, where are you from in Mississippi?
I'm from Summit, Mississippi.
Well, you got a good name, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, we're in a league of our own, brother.
Go ahead.
I've got a prayer request for a dear sister. Her name is Marcy Aldridge, and she is undergoing liver transplant surgery as we speak. Her daughter, Mary Jane, is her donor. And so Mary Jane went in this morning at about 8 o'clock, and then Marcy started her part at 12 o'clock, and they said it's going to last to about 8 p.m. And we're praying for a successful surgery, and we're praying for a speedy recovery for our dear sister and her daughter, Mary Jane.
Wow. Thank you. When I hear stories like that, a daughter with that liver transplant to her mother, aren't you glad for families, Dylan? I mean, you know,
it is.
So, we're going to take time out and pray right now. I'll do this, and Lee, call in for the missionaries, and Bert for Marcy and Mary Jane. Father, I thank you that we can call upon you. I thank you for those who have said, yes, you have called us not just to go across the street, but to go to a completely different culture. And some of those cultures that our friends as missionaries go to, they put their lives on the line. And, Father, then there's those that go because of a need that is there, that is physical, because of a hurricane, because of an earthquake, because of whatever it might be. And as Lee said, their resources have been diminished quite a bit lately because of the disasters. And I pray, Father, you would complete that and help them be strong and be ministering. And, Father, we're praying for Marcy and Mary Jane right now. God, Mary Jane's already gone through hers, and now she's recovering from that, and now Marcy's going through that surgery right now. God, I pray that it'd be successful, and I can hear from Bert that they're going to give God the glory for what you do in their lives, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Debbie. Debbie, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you so much for being y'all. I just love y'all.
I need to go there. Thank you for being y'all. Brent, write that down.
Yeah. It's Y'ALL.
Listen, I understand that speech. It's all of us Southerners, we need to stick together a little bit on that, don't
That's
we?
Right.
Okay.
I know. I play it all the time.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Anyway, I'm 71 years old, and I've had the same best friend since high school. And today, she is having to bury her 67-year-old sister.
Okay.
And I just would love prayers for the family.
We'll do it, Debbie. We'll do it.
Yeah.
And listen, a friend that was childhood and still friends, Dylan, they've gone through a lot together when you put it that way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so, okay, and Brent's got a prayer request, so get that one, and then we'll pray for Debbie's
Well,
friend.
You go ahead and do the prayer. This was a question. This was something.
Okay, well, let's do the prayer then. Thank
first.
You, brother. Father, we're praying for Debbie's friend right now that you would just intervene in such a way, and the sister, Father, that has gone on, it hurts, and the loss of those friends, but then also the loss of family members like that. And I pray you would get the glory from this, and I pray that if there's any there that is not born again, Father, that whoever would help with a memorial service, the funeral service, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and that there'd be people there that would hear the gospel and they would turn to Christ. Use that in this time, Father, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you, Debbie. And Brent, what was that now?
Speaking of Southerners, I guarantee you this fellow is Southern. His name is Bubba. And he also uses the word y'all. So
okay. He qualifies.
That's
yes.
Right. He says, I listen to y'all on the radio, and I can't remember how Brother Bert said to read the Bible to make it seem easier. Could y'all please tell me?
Okay. Now, Dylan, I haven't done this with you on it, but it's easier for me because how I think. I think chronologically, you know? And I think that's the reason, you know, a lot of times I love Luke, he does it kind of set in order. He says, I'm going to do this, in chronological order. I love Matthew, but Matthew, some of the things he says may have occurred after that happened. And I try to get it all straight. And that's the reason I have to have a lot of help. But here's what you do. If you want to read the Old Testament and you want to get it in chronological order, and it helps me. Here's the 11 books that you can read straight through, and you will have read the history all the way through the Old Testament. Now, again, the other books that are not there, I'm using the word, they're commentaries. Now, it means they're prophets, but it means they were added to sermons that were preached, prophecies that were made. Here's the 11 books. I'm doing it by memory. Genesis and Exodus, and then Numbers, okay? Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers. Write these down. And then you go to Joshua and Judges. That's the first five. I'll give them again. Genesis, and then Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges. Now, the rest of it's kind of easy. First and Second Samuel. Read those next. And then First and Second Kings. That gets you to 9. And to finish up, you read Ezra and Nehemiah. And that takes you through the Old Testament time. And if you want to do it in the New Testament, it's real easy. Read Luke, Acts, and 2 Timothy. And that takes you through the time frame. Have you heard that, Dylan? Knew that?
Yeah, I've heard similar versions of that. So that gives you a great summary. Instead of doing all 66, just do about a dozen books and you'll get the main highlights.
And then you start adding two. That's your structure. And that he said make it easy. Made it easier for me, Dylan.
Yes.
But not everybody's structured the way I am, and I'm proud of that. But it's been good to be with you, Dylan. Thank you for joining us today, brother.
Always a pleasure. Glad to be with you.
Thank you for all the people that pray for us, and we enjoy having this day of prayer where we can reach out and ask God to be glorified in your life as He comes alongside to go with you through all that He's taking you through.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.